So as we think about our sermon today, the text will be found in Romans chapter 9, and it's verses 10 through 24. Romans chapter 9, verses 10 through 24. And if you are able, would you stand? I want to read the Word of God in your hearing, and then we'll ask God to bless our time together. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse number 10. And not only so, but also when Rebecca had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, "The older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." So then, it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. The scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. Yes. You will say to me, then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? Mm-hmm. But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Mm-hmm. Will what is molded say to the molder, "Why have you made me like this?" Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honor, mm-hmm. honorable use, and another vessel, and another for dishonorable use? Yes. Verse 22. What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, mm-hmm. in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory? And finally, verse 24. Even us, whom he has called, not from Jews only, but also from Gentiles. Amen. Father, thank you for this blessed privilege to be together. We confess that we need your help, not only to understand what the Word of God means, but help us apply it to our lives, and help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ by it. We thank you for this privilege, and may you be glorified in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you, and I wanted you to know that in the recent weeks, in my reading through the Bible, I just finished the book of Job just a little while back, and I noticed afresh and anew that in the book of Job you have these two great perspectives, right? You see things from a human perspective with Job and his friends as they're trying to figure out what's going on, and then you see things from a divine perspective, and that God shows you what's really going on. And it helps us, the book of Job helps us get a right perspective on life, right? So what you notice also in the book of Job is that people who are going through the circumstances and dilemmas and issues of life, they always have questions, right? People always have opinions about what's going on in life, and they got assertions and recommendations, right? And they've always got some advice. And you see that over and over and over in the book of Job. People are the ones who are, more than anything, have questions. And you know that was Job's biggest issue. Job had a lot of questions about what was happening to him, right? But you also learn in the book of Job that God is not the one with questions. God is not the one who has a dilemma. God is not the one who's wringing his hands. God is the one with answers, right? God is the one that has a plan. God is the one that has a purpose. And so you and I find great comfort as we look at the book of Job that even when we are confused, we can see why the book of Proverbs would say, trust what? In the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on the way it appears to you. Don't lean on your understanding of a situation because more than likely it's flawed. The Bible says that the best we do is see through a mirror of what? Dimly. It's fuzzy. The best you and I do is see, is get a kind of a fuzzy look at things. God is the only one that sees it clearly from what? Beginning to end. Right?
Amen.
And he shows us a little bit, but don't think that that little bit is any more than a little bit.
Amen.
And so you trust him with a little bit that you see. Right? And so we learn that from the book of Job, because ultimately in Job you learn that God is doing everything for his own glory.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God made what? Everything. God is holding everything together.
Amen.
What considers to be good and bad to you, God is the one who's holding it all together. The Bible clearly says that everything is from him, right?
Uh-huh.
And through him and to him. Uh-huh. It's God is God again. He's the potter.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And he's the one with the idea.
Amen.
God has a plan. It's a plan of redemption.
Yes.
And it's just like most of you know the story of Noah and the flood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that God intended to get on that boat was what?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
Not one person that was supposed to be on that boat missed it.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because God has a plan.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's our hope.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he is doing. We learn that from the book of Job. And I hope that we'll be able to see in these verses that we're going to look at today, the same perspective is, I know this text we're looking at, it is very troublesome to many Christians because we want to figure it out ourselves, right? When you and I have to admit that I have a lot of questions and I've got to trust God who has all the answers. Right? I've got to trust him even when I don't have it all figured out. Okay? So today, we're only going to look at four verses in our text. Because we'll probably look at this text for the next 2 or 3 weeks or so. The reason I've chosen the subject, God's purpose and prerogative, is that's ultimately where you and I find our comfort. That's where we find our security. That God, Romans 8, right, he's causing what? All things to work together for good.
Uh-huh.
Whether I clearly see it and understand it now or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to look at these two big points here today. The first one is that God's purpose is unlimited. And I see that in verses 10 and the first part of verse 11 of Romans 9. And then we're going to see that God's purpose is unconditional. Alright? His purpose is unlimited and his purpose is unconditional. Now let me see if I can let's drill down on this a little bit and see if I can make it plain. What do I mean by God's purpose is unlimited? Well, I got two things in mind. The first thing is that God's purpose excludes people limitations. Here's what I mean. God is never limited on people. God always, it's like the potter. The potter always knows where to find clay.
Mm-hmm.
The clay doesn't know that, but what? The potter knows it. And so God, to you and I, it may look like God's got very slim pickings. But he has to remind you, just as he had to remind Elijah and others, I got plenty of folks.
Yeah.
I got folks like you that you don't know about.
Yeah.
Folks that haven't bowed to me. Folks that haven't given in to this modern theology.
Yeah.
And so God, he always has a remnant. Even though we just talked about knowing the boat. God knew he had a remnant that was going to preserve that plan of redemption.
Yes, yes.
And to you and I, you know, six or eight people is not much. But to God,
amen.
Amen. God started with one.
Amen.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he started with none. Before he made Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that one man, God did his work. Why? Because he had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he's still what? Working. And thank God you are a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the point, right?
Amen.
It's his plan. It's his purposes that we want to, even with all my questions, I ultimately want to say, Lord, not what?
My will.
Will be done.
Yeah.
Even though I got my issues, you know, I fuss about it more than I should. Which Job did. But ultimately, Job learned, I need to be quiet and listen to what God is doing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's what you and I have to learn tonight. All right, so you got you with me so far. Okay, I'm trying to move along. So, it excludes people limitations. Paul has already told, he's given this example of Ishmael and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all know that story, right? God had promised Abraham that he would have a son and at age 75, and then by age 85, Abraham was getting a little antsy, and Sarah too. And then finally at age 87, Sarah offers Abraham her maidservant. And of course, then he has a son. Now, this was quite appropriate in that day and time. He has a son by this maidservant, and he assumes that this is going to be fine. I mean, this child is growing up, you know, he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, he's made it up to age of 12, 13. That was the circumcision rite for in that culture, and Abraham assumed that I got my son, because now he's 100 years old. But God said, no, that's not my plan.
Mm-hmm.
My plan was not for you to have a son by your maidservant.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You see? And I know he's here. And here's the thing about God.
Amen. Amen.
God said, I got a plan for Ishmael.
Amen.
But it's not the same plan that I have for your promise.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right? God has for Abraham didn't surprise God.
Amen.
With Ishmael.
Hmm.
You understand that?
Amen.
And so God still had a plan and a purpose for Ishmael, but it was different than the plan for Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
He's already explained that to us. Now here's the point. The difference between Isaac and Ishmael was not the two boys. The difference was God's plan.
Amen.
They just clicked. And people read the story don't understand that. They think that Isaac was chosen simply because he was the child of Sarah. No, he was chosen because of God's plan and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He's clay just like Isaac is clay. But God had what? Two different purposes and plans for him. Okay? This is what I'm saying. This is challenging.
Amen.
When people begin to wrestle through God's prerogative to do with clay what he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to that probably next week. Whether that's fair or not.
Mm-hmm.
the clay trying to determine.
Amen. Come on, brother.
What's fair?
Yes.
But that's a challenge for us as people, because we're made in God's own image, and we can think and we can reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, the primary difference between Isaac and Ishmael was God's purpose and His plan for them. And you, those of you who know the story, Isaac received blessings in this life and eternal life.
Amen.
Ishmael only received blessings in this life. God said, I will make a great nation out of both of them. But both of them are not intended in my redemptive plan. I'm not, don't have plans in the plan of the Redeemer. Okay? That was the Isaac was the what? The son of promise. Okay? Even though he had a plan for Ishmael. And then to make the point crystal clear, then you see verse 10. Because he knows people think that God's plan was simply because Isaac was Sarah's son.
Mm.
So now he's going to give us what? Another example to show you it's not the people. Okay, you got look at you got verse 10? Look at verse 10. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived. Now, Isaac is grown up, right? And now Isaac is married to his wife Rebekah. And you know, Rebekah got pregnant with twins. That's what he's telling me, the story he's telling you. But also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac. Now, here's the point. Before, we had Abraham as the father and two, what? Mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that's the reason they said, that's the difference between Ishmael and Isaac. But Paul says, no. Let me give you another example. Here is the same father, what?
Mm-hmm.
The same mother, and what? Twins.
Amen. Amen.
And God still has a different purpose for the two of them.
Uh-huh.
There's no distinction between the clay.
Mm-hmm.
Just because one was born 13 years earlier than the other, or one was born from this. Thank God he's no respecter of persons.
Amen.
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 That's it. Don't start thinking that way. That, you know, you would say because of your grandfather, or because of this thing, or that thing. God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
He saves some of the most unlikely people. You know that.
Amen.
Look at me. Look at you.
Amen.
Right? And so he gives this analogy of these twins had the same father and the same mother. No one at any time, anywhere, is ever born outside of God's purpose.
Amen.
Okay. There are no accidental people.
Mm.
That would be like that potter. Remember the family song? That'd be like that potter saying, oops, I accidentally picked up clay, and I accidentally went over to the wheel. I accidentally, well, how can you accidentally? You don't accidentally. That was funny.
Amen.
So God has a design with every baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Amen.
Amen.
He got a plan.
Amen.
But it's his plan.
Yeah.
That's what we have, right? That's what we have to wrestle through.
Hmm.
Okay, so we're making our way, and I know this was I'm going to have to take a little bit more time. This may be the first time that some of you've heard this. I don't know, but I want to spend time here for the next couple of weeks just to be sure. So you good so far?
Amen.
You can see that when I say that God's purpose is unlimited, God has no shortage of people. He's got all the resources that He needs in people. In every generation, God has people that He can choose from. Every generation, regardless of how wicked it is. Even when the Bible says the intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. You know what that was? That was in Noah's day. He still had a remnant, right, to choose from. Right? So we know that we've got hope as long as we're living under grace. And then Secondly, I want you to notice that when God's purpose is unlimited, it excludes time limitations. And that's what I see in verse, you see the beginning of verse 11? Though they were not yet born, okay? You see the story that when he's developing?
Yes.
They came from the same father, the same mother, but God had already made his plan and his charge, what? Before they were ever born.
Amen.
This is where it gets to be wonderful. You get to see that it's all in God's heart.
Yes.
It's all in God's mind. God is not limited by time. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Time, you and I are restricted by time. Time affects us and our decisions. But God is not affected by time. He knows the end of a thing at the beginning. He also has limitless power. He can affect anything. Anything that he wants to do, he does.
Amen. Amen.
So there are no limitations, right? So when I say that he's unlimited, time is not a limitation for him. I hope you understand that. And here's another thing I want to clear up. It's not just God has unlimited knowledge. God has unlimited power. So it's not just that God looks way down in the future and makes his decision based on what he sees we're going to do. No, God makes his history.
Amen.
He's got the power to bring it to bear. Brother Billy told us that we began worship. God stopped the storm. He didn't wait for it to steal down. Jesus stood up and said, what? It's him.
Yeah.
When? Now.
Yeah.
He don't have to wait for it to run its course. He makes the course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Amen. Amen.
It's his universe. It's his world. He's running it. Trust me. I know sometimes you think about it, but it is not out of control.
Amen. All right.
He's running.
Thank you, Lord.
Down to the most minute detail.
Yeah.
And he still promises he's causing what?
Yeah.
All things.
Yeah.
How can he do that? He's got to be running.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen.
He didn't have to guess. He has to be running everything.
Yes.
And everybody is created with a purpose. Whose purpose? God's purpose.
Amen.
Okay. You get this so far? His wisdom and his power do not increase or diminish with time. And so you can see that time is not a factor in God's choice. Time is not a factor in God's plans. Time is not a factor with God's purposes for any individual. Why? He did this before they were even born.
All right.
And he did the same for you.
Amen.
I wasn't saved until I was 28. That didn't mean that God didn't have a plan. The plan was made before I was born.
Well, yes, sir.
It included 28 years of me as an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
That was a part of what? The plan. Because God is eternal, he is unlimited, his purposes are unlimited. And here's what I mean by that. God establishes his plans and his purposes for people's lives long before they're ever born. Jeremiah 1, I believe God is speaking about Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he said I chose you or before you were born I consecrated you, right? I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, okay? And so Jeremiah 1:5. And he said Paul said the same thing about himself. Before God had set me apart for this work, in my mother's womb. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, this is, I'm saying these things, this is foundational for the next few weeks, is for us to see, just as in the film that we looked at, God is the potter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the potter does not have limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So, God's purpose is unlimited. And then the last big point we want to look at is the fact that God's purpose is unconditional. And by the way, This was not just true in the Old Testament in the first century. The Bible clearly says, God speaks as what? I, the Lord, what? Change not. He's the same. He's the same today as he was generations ago, as he was in the first century. He's the same. He's the same. So God's purpose is unconditional. And I hope that as we go through these things, you find encouragement. That's not to say that this won't be unsettling for some of you. If this is the first time that you've seen, I know this is going to be unsettling. It was unsettling to me. Because we don't want to be left helpless. But you can't be saved unless you know you are helpless.
Amen.
Romans says, what? When we were helpless, Christ died.
Amen.
When you couldn't help yourself, you Amen. Couldn't save yourself. It didn't matter how many times you went to Sunday school, or how many sermons you listened to, or you know how much you, how many times you said you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. God has to save you. Jesus saves.
Yeah. Yes,
yes
He does.
Yes, he saves the weak.
Yes, He does.
And helpless.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul drills it home because he says not only that He saved you when you were dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you going to save yourself if you're dead?
Uh-huh.
So we have to peel it back little by little to where we see God is the one that gets all the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
All of it. It excludes a person's merit. And that's the point I believe that Paul is getting at here. Look at verse 11 again. Though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad. He's really wanting to drive this point home. What's the point? People's merits and deeds don't influence God's choice. I know I'm probably overdoing you with this clay, but I got to make sure you get this. That potter, the clay didn't do anything for that potter to say. The clay didn't say, choose me. The clay didn't say, I decided to be a pot.
Mm-hmm.
The potter chose the clay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wasn't based on how good the clay was or how well the clay had performed or any of that kind of thing. So that's the point that Paul is getting here. And if you'll notice, God's purpose here is specifically called election or choice.
Mm-hmm.
You see that in the next phrase? And had done nothing either good or bad in order that God's purpose of election might continue. So, for those of you who have not heard that terminology before, that's a part. You've got to get this before you get ready to live for Christ. You've got to, this is fundamental, okay? I'm not saying that you can't be saved if you don't know this. But I'm saying that after you are saved, you need to be settled on this. So that you can find your, we like to say, I surrender all. You need to find this truth solidified in your heart so that you can see, I need to be open to God shaping and molding and transforming me, right? I got to stop fighting Him because He knows what He's doing. He knows why He saved me. It's in His mind. He's given me His gift. And I need to find out what He wants me to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm getting at.
Amen.
But I got to yield.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not lean to my own, yield to what I like to do. Yield to what feels good to me. Right? I need to stop yielding to what I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
And accept the fact that He knows what I'm equipped for.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm jumping ahead, but I'm wanting you to see. This is not just doctrine. The teaching of the Bible ought to help us be anchored in this this dark and twisted time that we live in.
Yes.
You don't need to be confused when you when your job goes under. You don't need to be confused when you didn't get the raise. Or when your family fell apart. You don't need to be confused when the trouble comes. Like Job. Job was just, he was devastated. I was doing right. I was living right for God. Minding my own business. And trouble still came. But God still had a plan. And he was working it. And that's what we have to realize in our own lives. But I need to get these kind of things straight. There's no accident. I didn't accidentally lose that job. I didn't accidentally have that car wreck or whatever the thing was. People call them accidents. There's no accident in the Christian life. You know that? There is no accident. It's all under God's purview. Whether he permitted it or caused it, it is no accident. Why he's causing what?
All things.
But I got to remember, it's his purpose and his prerogative. I've got to, what? Decrease and let him increase. Pride goes before what? Destruction. And the haughty spirit. And all, I know all of us think we're humble. No, come on. Why do we fight so much if we're that humble? Why do we argue? If you were that humble, you wouldn't have any basis for fussing and complaining. If you're that humble, look at the Savior. When you look at him, you and I don't have a basis to complain. We good?
Amen.
I didn't say this is pleasant. This is gospel. This will set you free. God's choice of people. Now I know I'm drilling down. I'm purposely drilling down. I'm cutting away at my pride and your pride. God's choice of people for his purposes, independent of a person's actions in life. He said it before they've done anything what? Good or bad. He didn't choose Jacob because he was going to be such an upstanding citizen. Or he didn't pass over Esau because he was going to be such a rascal. He said, I did it before they were ever born, before they'd ever done anything good or bad. He didn't look down the pipe. He didn't look at a person's potential. Why? He's the potter. He can make any, he can make what he wants out of anything. The most unlikely of people God saves. Thank God for that. It's not based on God's knowledge of a person's future action or their potential. And I want to tell you something. This is what really encouraged me this weekend. This verse, look at the verse again. This verse says it was done in order that God's purpose of election might continue. You know what that means? That it might stand, that it would be fulfilled, that it's certain, it's guaranteed. Why is that so important? God never makes mistakes.
Amen.
You get this? God never makes an error in his election. He doesn't choose somebody and say, that's bad. And I'm so thankful. Here's what I'm saying to you. This is why this is so good. My life is messed up. But God didn't make a mistake with me.
Amen.
Your life was messed up. But he didn't make a mistake. There are things in our past that we don't talk to anybody about. God knows that. And he didn't make a mistake when he saved their mistake. People think it's just a phase you're going through. God never makes a mistake. His purpose will stand. It will continue. God saved you, and you will be among the number standing in heaven around the throne. So people thought you should have never been there. It will stand.
Yes, it will.
Those whom God, Jesus says, of those that the Father has given me, what?
Yes,
I've not lost one.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Because
you know as well as I do, we haven't done things so well after we've been saved.
Right.
Thank God he doesn't change his mind.
Amen.
Never should have saved you. Oh, I'm glad that's not in the Bible. No one, nothing can ever snatch you from my Father's hand. Hallelujah. God, you see, eternal life can't be eternal life unless it's eternal life. You can't have it, and it's not a like with the four-leaf clover. He loves me, he loves me. No. If he loves you, he loves you forever. Nothing! What? Can separate us from the love of God. What? Nothing! My failures, people's opposition, all of it, anything you come up with.
Amen.
This is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
But you've got to stop talking out on this. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that. Don't lean to your own understanding. Accept what God said. Let Him renew what? Your mind. I had to do it. You're going to have to do it.
Amen.
Stop running from it. Stop letting commentaries and people try to water this down. God is the potter. He makes the choice. You didn't choose Him.
Amen.
I know that's not comfortable. But that's liberating.
Amen.
And because He chose me like I was,
Thank
God He'll keep me as I am. If He chose me like I was, I can trust Him to keep me as I am. I'm not what I thank God I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Right? I'm thankful that I'm moving toward being transformed more and more into the image of Christ.
Hallelujah.
God didn't make a mistake.
That's right.
It will continue. Right? Yes! That's our hope. That's our hope. I've been way too long. And finally then, you also see that God, when I say God's purposes are unconditional, it involves God's glory and God's prerogative. And that's what I see in the rest of this little section here. You see that, look at verse 11 again. Though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of Him who calls. You got that? God's purpose in choosing some people and not others is only known to Him. He didn't tell you. He didn't tell me. And we need to let that alone. Right? It's because of Him who called. And we just leave that with God and what? Thank God that He did not pass me by.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God that He did not pass me by. This very principle that we're looking at here is to bring glory to God alone and completely remove any sense of boasting or arrogance on our part.
Yeah.
It's to take the I out of salvation.
Mm. Yeah.
Jesus says.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I believe after I've been changed, But there ain't no way a dead person can believe.
Amen.
I got to be born again before I can believe.
Amen.
So that I don't come about until I've been born again. I happen after God has done his work for me. That's gospel.
Yes.
And that's liberating. I noticed something this time that I hadn't before in my years, and I want to say this and I'm going to try to wrap this up. I see here that God's purpose in choosing us and calling us actually defines our role in life. You see, look, you, where is it? You see that? Look at verse 12. She was told, that is, Rebecca was told, the older will serve the younger.
Mm-hmm.
God had a plan when he saved Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
God had a plan when he saved you, and it affects your life.
Yeah.
It may change your career.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for that?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. It may change your pursuits. Because remember, he must increase, and I must decrease. Okay? He had a plan, and this plan affected Jacob and Esau's role and lifestyle. And here's the reason. Believers are chosen to do God's will in life. How does Romans say? Romans 12? I plead with you, I feel you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to pursue what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your service of worship, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed what? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove the test what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, right? And so you and I have been saved to submit our lives to God as a, not as a dead sacrifice, as what? A living sacrifice, which will say, not my will, Lord, if you want me to do this, I'll do it. I'm yours. You are the potter, I'm the clay. Shape me. We like to sing that, but do you mean that? Shape me. Mold me. Make me. That sounds good. But did you see the potter doing that? Take some.
Yes.
Some pain and change that has to go about. It's not always pleasant to be shaped. I didn't show you this. I may try to get the, because I want the children to see this. I may get this next week if I can find it. Y'all remember Jeremiah? God sent Jeremiah down, and he showed him what a potter would actually take the pot that he wasn't pleased with, what?
Break it.
Because it needs to be what?
Remission.
Couldn't be rehab. It had to be what? Broken. Is that a picture for us? We have to be broken. Psalmist says, broken spirit, contrite heart, he doesn't despise. That God receives you when you've gotten there. You got it?
Amen.
So it affects our lives, and then finally, again, I know how difficult this is for some who have heard just hearing this for the first time. But when you look at verse 13, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. That is so challenging for Christians. But you got to leave that with God. That's in my Bible, and what? It's in yours. This is a fact. And what does it say to us? God has the authority, or if you ask me, I use prerogative. God has the prerogative to accept some people and reject others.
Amen.
Whether you and I like it or not. And you and I don't get a say so in that. You do know that.
Amen.
Sometimes people that you think God has rejected, He has not. That's the reason we need to leave that to him. When an artist chooses a blank canvas for a painting, it's not because the canvas has impressed the artist so well. Okay? When an artist looks at a blank canvas, the fact is the canvas doesn't know what size picture it's going to be on it. Right? The canvas doesn't know the colors and the contours and the design. The canvas doesn't know the nuances of the picture. Where is that? That's only in the mind of the painter. The painter is the one that knows all these details. Therefore, the painter chooses a blank canvas that fits his purpose, the purpose that is in his mind. And I say to you that when people look at a painting, and you think about this for a minute, when people look at a painting, the canvas isn't praised. It's the artist that's praised. And that's the way it ought to be with our lives. You and I don't tell God who to pick. We're like blank canvases. He picks those that fit his need.
Yeah.
And once he started working this beautiful picture out in our lives, the praise ought to go to him.
Mm-hmm.
Not be received by us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that that's at the heart of what Paul has brought before us today. The point is that every person is a blank canvas to God. Therefore, he can choose any canvas that he wants to create his work of art. Remember how Ephesians 2 says it? We are his workmanship.
Yeah.
What? Created in Christ Jesus for good works which he prepared before him,
mm-hmm.
before you were ever born. Thank God for that.
Amen.
So, as we conclude, this is really important. My brother, my sister, we ought to be filled with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Now, I hope you're not gritting your teeth and digging your heels in. I hope you're saying, Lord, I thank you that you saved me, even me, Lord. Even me. Be filled with thanksgiving and with joy and with praise and adoration of the Lord. Right? He's the one that's worthy. He's the one that should be worshipped. Why? Because he has this wonderful plan and he has included you and me in it. We should be humbled by God choosing us. Humble because he passed over so many others and he chose you and me. We should be humbled by that great privilege. We are especially privileged and blessed to be the objects of God's grace, the objects of God's mercy, the objects of God's patience, the objects of God's compassion. We are children of God and heirs of the kingdom. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We are blessed.
Amen.
And we ought to see that in God's great work. We're the objects of God's love, and nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are a chosen race.
Yeah.
Right, First Peter? We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We're a people of his own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into what? This marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now we are a people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Hallelujah! Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. That's the point. That's what he's getting at. That's all that matters. God is worthy to be praised.
Yes, he is.
Because he is one of the great things he has done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he has.
Yeah.
That's the reason John Newton said, he called it amazing grace. He saved a what?
Wretch.
Wretch like me. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise Jehovah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you're not a Christian, I want to tell you there's hope for you today.
Yes, it is.
You know that? There's hope for you today. You may be the object of God's love and you don't even know it. You may be the object of God's grace and you don't even know it. But you've got to believe in Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you can hear, not me, if you can hear and feel God calling you, don't fight it.
Amen.
That same call was on the life of everybody here that's a Christian, my friend. Whether you are young or old, if you sense Him calling you, don't tell Him. It's Him, it's not me. I can't call anybody to salvation.
Well,
the same God that called me calls you.
Amen.
And if you can hear Him, you are blessed today.
Amen.
Don't fight it. Believe on Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And you will be saved. Believe on Him. And you will be among those who are calling Him back. Father, thank you for the privilege,
yes, Lord,
of being known by you.
Thank you.
And of knowing you.
Yes.
Thank you for the grace to submit to your purposes and your plans and your prerogative, even when we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having included us in your plans and your purposes. And even now, Lord, we confess that we want to learn to decrease more and more so that you might increase in our lives. You are the potter. We are the clay. Help us submit and yield to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. I know that I was longer than I intended. But this is fundamental, and hopefully we'll be able to move through the other lessons.
Mm-hmm.
A little faster. Let's bow for a few minutes in prayer.